Okay, we're going to look at Mount Sinai this morning and kind of go through a brief history of what happened in the Bible. And as I read through this, I'm going to mention some verses, but let's not go to those verses yet because I'm going to go back and do a more in-depth about what happened during those verses. So where is Mount Sinai? When you look at a map, Mount Sinai is located between the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba in the Sinai Desert. There is no firm census on where exactly Mount Sinai is located. Some believe it was located in Saudi Arabia because Moses fled in that direction during the exile. Modern archaeologists is convinced that he has found biblical Mount Sinai at Har Kikim because he feels that same rock art at this location has biblical implications. This is a 2,700-foot ridge in the southern Negev. Even with these modern findings, the exact location of the biblical Mount Sinai is sealed up for debate. In other words, it's safe to say it was somewhere near Egypt. So if we actually look at what actually happened when the Israelites left Egypt, they was actually on their road to Mount Sinai for 3 months. If you go from where they left the Red Sea to where they think Mount Sinai is right now, that's approximately 200 miles, which means that that huge group of people went about 2.2 miles per day, which that's a lot for 1.1 or 1.2 million people. What happened at Mount Sinai in the Bible? We first read Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. There, the Israelites had been out of Egypt for 3 months and come to the desert of Sinai. The people camped on the mountain of God, spake to Moses. The people washed their clothes and was consecrated, and on the third day the Lord came down on the mountain. God is so holy that if anyone even touched upon the mountain, the person would be put to death. On the third day, there was thunder and lightnings, a cloud over Mount Sinai, a large trumpet. The mountain was hidden with smoke because God came down in fire. Moses heard God and called him up. He was given guidelines for the people and the priests. Moses then brought Aaron up. In Exodus 20, Moses goes to get the Ten Commandments from God himself on the mountain. The Lord spake the commandments to Moses, and he wrote them down. Chapter after chapter, we see instructions in order being given from God from the top of the mountain on tabernacles. Once we get to Exodus 32, we read about the golden calf idol which Aaron made. The Israelites get tired of waiting and took matters into their own hands. They thought they could create a god. Moses was furious and threw the tabernacle on the ground and was destroyed. When he went back up to the mountain, he pleaded on their behalf. He cleared the stones which was written by God. A food offering was presented at Mount Sinai. Another amazing fact is that Moses was familiar with the area since the angel appeared to him in the burning bush near Mount Sinai. This landmark was significant to the communication between God and Moses, as well as a place of intimacy. Mount Sinai itself is not holy. However, the Lord's dwelling on the top of that mountain made it holy. So Mount Sinai is one of the most valuable places mentioned in this scripture because it is a place where God met man. The location of the covenant and the mountain of great mercy on behalf of the Lord. He could have not given the Ten Commandments a second time, but as we think about the breaking of the tablets over idolatry of the people, remember the sins of Adam and Eve breaking the union with God. As we ponder, Moses goes back to God on behalf of the people who cannot even touch the mountain due to its holiness. We remember the foreshadowing of Jesus himself going up to the cross on our behalf. As we think on the second time God wrote the commandments on the tablets, we remember the covenant that would come through Christ. Okay, now, from now on, when I say in Scripture, we can turn and we can read there. So go to Exodus 19, 1 through 6. We'll start reading at verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So they've been gone there for 90 days, which is a long time for that many people to be on the road. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the deserts of Sinai, and it pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up with God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you into us. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which they shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now this is after they arrived at the bottom of Mount Sinai. So we'll continue reading on Exodus 19, 16 through 25. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord ascended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quite greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed loud and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, and on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down, and the people, and spake to the people again. I can't imagine what that would have looked like, you know. But okay, let's go to Acts chapter 7. And verses 30 through 39. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of the fire in the bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord coming to him. This is happening before he went to Egypt to rescue and deliver the Israelites. So, saying, I am the Lord, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. Thus Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? And the same day God sent it to be a ruler and delivered by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses was sent unto the children of Israel, a prophet, shall the Lord your God rise up unto you. Of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye speak. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, which the angels spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and without father, and with our father, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. That's what happened before Moses went back to Egypt. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 24. Chapter 24, 16 and 18. And the glory of the Lord abided upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went unto the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. If you go back and actually read through Exodus, he's actually been a total of probably about 90 days up there. If you go through and count all the other times he goes up there, because there's two 40-day periods, plus the other times he went up there, was only up there for a few days according to the scriptures. So, okay, now let's go to Exodus 31. Verse 18 and 19. No, verse 18. 31, 18. And he gave unto Moses, whom he had made an end of coming with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimonies, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And we'll get into later on what was on these tablets. Now let's go to 32:19. And this is what happens when he comes down from the mount. And it come to pass, as soon as he come nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and it cast the tables out of his hands, and they break them beneath the mount. And we'll get more in that later on. Okay, chapter 34, 1 through 6. There's a lot of Bible reading, but you'll understand when we get into this, what I'm doing. So, 34, 1 through 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, how the two tablets of stone likened to the first. I will write upon these tablets the swords that was the first tabernacle. So Moses went back up to the mountain to get another set of tabernacles that he had thrown and busted. So, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself thee to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all of the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tablets of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the two stone tablets. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Okay, let's go to chapter 34, 28 through 35. This is the second period of time he goes up for 40 days, 40 days and 40 nights. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses come down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he come down from the mount, that Moses was not, that the skin of his face shone while he was talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto the people, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with him. And afterwards all the children of Israel come nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him. He took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. Okay, we're going to go in now, kind of like part two. We're going to start, all this was basically done in preparation for the Ten Commandments. So we're going to go, and we're going to go through each commandment individually, one at a time. And I don't think I can get all this done, but we'll see. Might have a part two. okay. So let's go to Exodus. I want to go to, yeah, there we go. I lost my bookmark. Oops, way back here. I lost the Ten Commandments. Okay, go to chapter 20 of Exodus, chapter 20, and we'll read it, the verse 1. So I'm going to read through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to go through them one at a time. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that was in it, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord passed the seventh day, blessed the seventh day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when Lo saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Okay. So the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So let's look at that. Oops. Need that. It commands us to know and acknowledge to God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify him accordingly. Let's turn to Joshua 24, verse 15. Had trouble finding Joshua. Okay, Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is a lot of temptation back in the old days about which gods to serve. And we're going to get in more of that here in a minute. Let's go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. First Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Simon, my son, know that the God of thy father, and serve him with perfect heart and with willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Just a warning to make sure you don't turn from God. Okay, Psalm 29, 2. Psalm 29, 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So we're always supposed to go to him with reverence if we're in prayer or that kind of thing. So let's go to Matthew 4, verse 10. Matthew 4, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So right there, even Jesus is telling this Satan to get behind him. So what is forbidden in the first commandment? It forbids us to deny or not worship the glory of the true God as God and our God, and to give that worship and glory to any other which is due unto him alone. Let's go to Joshua 24:27. Joshua 24:27. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, the stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a written witness unto you, lest you deny your God. That's a warning there, don't deny your God. Okay, Romans 1, 20 through 21. Romans 1, 20 through 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that we made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him, not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So they turned from worshiping God. Then go to Psalms 14, verse 1. Psalms 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Well, I wouldn't want to say that in my heart. And that's asking for big time retribution. So let's, what other kind of gods could there be? For one thing, Satan, let's look at Matthew 4, verse 9. And we kind of read this verse already, but look at it again. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels come and minister unto him. So that's one, we sure don't want to worship Satan. There's also Muhammad, Buddha, there's John Smith, there's a lot of them out there. So let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 24. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. So you have to keep your eyes open for false gods that are out there. Every day you hear different things, especially the internet right now. And my personal belief is I wish the internet was never even invented. No computers. Maybe calculators, and that is it. We'd be able to think of a lot better world now than we are. That's my personal opinion. So what about the creation? People actually worship creation. Let's turn to Romans 1, verse 22. Romans 1, 22 through 25. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorrupted God into an image made like corruptibility man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. There's also man-made gods, and individuals can make these up. People worship money. I've seen people worship their cars. You've got worship houses. They can worship anything they want. So let's look at Isaiah 48, verse 2. Oops. Isaiah 48, verse 2. Well, they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. Am I reading the right verse? Yeah, okay. 1 John 5:21. First John 5:21. That's the last chapter in First John, but it says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. That's a very stern warning, especially have an amen behind it. So, okay, let's look at the second commandment. So turn back to Exodus. Verses 4 through 6. Exodus 20, 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, and that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under this. Did I do that? No, that was the first commandment. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and the third unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and to keep my commandments. So, thou shalt not make any graven images, even of his likeness, which we don't know what he looked like. Shall not bow down to them, and thou shalt not eat. Actually, do not serve different kinds of gods. So, what's required in the second commandment? The second commandment requires a receiving, observing, and keeping pure religious worship and ordinance as God had appointed in the world. So, let's look at Deuteronomy 12:32. Okay, Deuteronomy 12:32. And you shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. So that's going back to the Ten Commandments. You do that, observe that every day. Let's go to chapter 30, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. And he saith unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe and to do all the words of the law. That's commanding the parents and everybody to teach their children or their grandchildren the obedience and what the Ten Commandments stand for. Okay. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 20. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded ye, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you actually go through and look, it's kind of interesting, because a lot of the Ten Commandments are actually the last of some of these chapters, and there's always an amen behind them. So what is forbidden in the Second Commandment? The Second Commandment forbids the worship of God by images or any other that draws our hearts away from His glory rather than toward His glory. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4. Verses 14 and 15. So Deuteronomy 4, 15 and 16. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Hebrew out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make your graven image the similar of any figure, the likeness, male or female. Now, Herbin there is just another word for Mount Sinai. So, go to Colossians 2, verse 18. Oop, went to the wrong one. Colossians 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Again, someone's worshiping angels there. So, if we go back and look at what the commandment actually said, he uses the word wisdom in there. So why is wisdom added to the second commandment? The reasons are added because God is holy and he's jealous for his name and he is passionate for his own worship. Let's go to Exodus 20 verses 4 and 6. So this is part of the second commandment. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord their God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generations. So, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So we know one thing, God is a very jealous God and he's a very judging God. So what are the promises of the second commandment? Retribution to you if you do not obey them. Mercy to those that do obey. And how can you break the second commandment? Basically make man-made gods. Also religious icons, anything in the world that we serve, bow down to our worship instead of the one true God. Now we'll go to the commandment number 3. And that's Exodus 20 verses 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So what's the requirement of the third commandment. The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, words, and works. So we really be careful about your sight. You know, people all of a sudden they'll say, you know, something very bad at work, and usually use God's name in that. And I hear that 50 or 60 times every day at work, and I imagine Austin does the same thing. And anybody that works in the construction heavy industry, you just seem like you hear that more than if you would work in an office. That's my own experience. So, yeah. So let's go to Psalm 29, verse 2. Psalm 29, verse 2. And I'm hoarse this morning. And give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So that's just an example of how you should worship the God. Also Psalm 138, verses 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So what is forbidden in the third commandment? The third commandment forbids all profaning and abusing of any name whereby God makes himself known. So let's look at Malachi verses chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. No, Malachi 1, 6 and 7. Malachi 1, verse 1, 6 and 7. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offered polluted bread unto mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that we say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. We don't want to ever do that. Look at Matthew 5. Verses 34 through 37. Matthew 5, 34 through 37. And I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's stone, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your comments be yea, 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 nay, nay. For whatever is more than these cometh of evil. So what is the promise of the third command? God promises the breakers of this commandment they will not escape his righteous judgment. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, 58 and 59. And if thou wilt not observe to draw the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, and that's in caps, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thee thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou hast, at which thou wast afraid of, and they should cleave unto thee, and also sickness, and every plague which is not written in the book of the law. Them will the Lord bring upon thee until they be destroyed. That's something to be scared of. You actually, if you do that if someone swears the Lord's name in vain, that's a scary thing, especially if you believe what we believe and you still do it. That's very scary. So how do you break the third commandment? Now, this is serious. Profanity that uses God's names, swearing to anything using God's name in a casual or careless way, claiming to speak to God's name when it's not true, speaking, writing, or using God's name in any way that degrades his holiness. And if you do any of those, to me, that'd be very scary. That's you're asking for a lot of retribution in your daily life. So, okay, fourth commandment, Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Okay. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor their cattle, nor their strangers, it is written, that gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it. All that is in it is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So what is required of the fourth amendment? Let's look at Leviticus 19:30. Anyway, horrible trying to find books this morning. Must be because I'm nervous. Okay, 19 verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. He's telling you right there to do what he says in his Ten Commandments, especially this one here. Okay, Deuteronomy 5 verse 12. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor the maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates, that the manservant and all maidservants may rest as well as thou. So it's almost exactly what the fourth commandment said, almost to a T. So how is the Sabbath to be kept holy? 1 day in seven shall devoted to worship. The Sabbath shall provide sufficient physical, emotional, and spiritual rest to prepare a person for next week's work. This Leviticus 23:3. Leviticus 23:3. In 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. There's several places in the Bible he confirms that take the seventh day off and rest up for the next week. So what is forbidden? The fourth commandment commands dishonoring the Lord's day by any actions or thoughts that divert the soul from spiritual refreshment, worship, or distraction, or distract our minds from focusing on the Lord. Look at Jeremiah 17:21. Jeremiah 17:21. Thus saith the Lord. Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but but hallow you the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. In Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah 13, verses 15 through 17. In these days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and lading ashes, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sowed victuals. So he's condemning them for doing that on the Sabbath day. Mark verse 2. Yeah. Verses 23 through 28. So Mark 2, 23 through 28. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as he went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharaoh said unto him, Behold, why do thou on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which was with him? And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So how can you break the fourth commandment? Number one, by not setting aside a Sabbath day every week. Two, by not setting aside the first day of the week as a Sabbath day unless unavoidably hindered. Three, by engaging in activity on the Sabbath day that would take away from its holiness. Four, by failing to be involved in worship with other believers. Five, by doing work on the Sabbath that is not required and thus not resting. Okay, we'll go there. I think we'll do the fifth commandment, then I'm going to probably stop. So, what is the fifth commandment? Let's go to Exodus 20, verse 12. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father or thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, so what is required of the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requires that we specifically preserve the honor of our parents and perform the duties which belong to the children. So let's look at Leviticus 19:32. Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt raise up before thee the hairy head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. He's talking about honoring older people or older parents. They could be in health problems or something like that. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So, it's just an example. Just because of you might have a good king, and there's a lot of good kings and bad kings back in the biblical times. And if you had a good king, you should honor him just like you would your parents. Yeah. Now, if you got a bad king, that's a different story there. So. Okay, Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians Ephesians 5, 21 through 24. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the church, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, also love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Okay, then we got chapter 6, verse 1. This is about children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yeah. So the kids, if they disobey the parents, they're actually going against God's Ten Commandments. So look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So the servants were the same way. And then verse 9. And your masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So the masters had to be very careful about it. If they had even slaves underneath them, they could not order them to work on a Sabbath. That'd be just as bad as the Sabbath, just as bad as the service working, but you're actually making that person work. So, okay, Colossians 3. Colossians 3:19-22. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That's something to remember about fathers too, and moms. Yeah. Don't provoke them to anger, and then they do something that you don't agree with, which actually may be against the Ten Commandments. So, yeah. Servants, obey all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasures, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay. So what is forbidden? The fifth commandment forgives neglecting or offending the honor of your parents. Now let's look at Proverbs 30:17. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it away. That's kind of a gross statement there, because he's actually saying that you have to pluck your eyes out if you don't obey your parents. So let's go to Romans 13, verses 7 through 8. Romans 13, 7 through 8. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man say anything but to have one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So what are the special promises if for keeping the commandment? There's promises. One is of a long life, as far as it shall serve God's glory and their own good, to all who keep the commandments. Let's look at Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor thy mother and honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, and also has to do with commandment number 5, that it may well be with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. So how can we break the fifth commandment? Number 1, by treating our parents in any way that fails to honor their position in our lives. Number two, by living a life that does not honor them or our God. Three, by not obeying them while we are under their authority at home. Four, by failing to show them respect after we leave their home. Five, by failing to provide for their needs in later life. Six, by failing to honor thy memory after they die. Seven, by failing to do any of the above things for anyone covered under the general provisions of the fifth commandment. Number six, by making others do an unnecessary work on the Sabbath and thus preventing others from even keeping the child's command. And that is all I'm going to do today. I'm going to close this out. I'll probably do part two the next time I have to do a service for the pastor. So.